our shout-outs last week. Let's get through them now. The podcasters at F1Weekly.com.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hemi will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 405, January 28th, 2010. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by Marin Karting, your source for engines and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. Check them out. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, we love our Marin Karting. On today's program, USF1 confirm Jose Maria Lopez. Doesn't sound American, but hey.
He's South American. Come
on. Exactly.
Maybe that's what they meant when they said they were going to get American drivers.
Qualifying. Tires to start the race for the top 10. Campos F1 to miss all testing before the start of the season. And, of course, an outstanding Motorsports Mondial with the latest and greatest from around the globe. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful. How about yourself, Mr. Rogers?
Not too bad. You know, the economy is getting to all of us over here in Northern California, but we just seem to hang in there and continue with the program. So there you have it, Steve. Lots of good stuff. Of course, I know how excited you were about Jose Maria Lopez coming into Formula One.
Glad to see they have got a driver.
Well, that's a good part. They have a driver. They seem to be on the roll. Their YouTube channel, I think, has got 10 episodes now.
Mm.
So they've surpassed Gilligan's Island. And, no, this is really good. And even Lopez says, 3 years ago when I returned from Europe, I couldn't imagine getting this opportunity again. And sure enough, it's true. He's 26. I mean, I can't say he's old, but still, he's pretty lucky to get this opportunity, and I've seen pictures of him with the president of Argentina, President Cristina, and he's had some backing from Argentina, including from Carlos Reutemann.
Yeah, and not only that, it looks like he's been quite successful in the 10 Top Series in South America, so he's still been racing, from the sounds of it, been pretty dominant in South America.
Exactly.
So, you know, he has the GP2 experience. He was reasonably competitive while he was there. Be interesting to see whether or not USF1 can give him a car that's competitive so that he can be in the fight.
Well, I think the Cosworth motor will be pretty good. Those guys put together a pretty strong motor. He was a F1 test driver for Renault. And I think he'll be fairly good. And to be honest with you, when you look at his resume, or his CV, as they call it, this is probably appropriate for where USF1 is going to be on the grid, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think he's actually a solid choice for where they're going to be at. You know, you don't want to go out and buy somebody. You don't have to go out and pay an expensive driver to kind of languish at the back. You know, you don't have to go like a David Coulthard and, you know, have to pay him $10 or $15 million.
Not only that, but he brings $5 million to the team, which is definitely needed these days. So I think USF1, when you look at the package and what they're trying to do, I think this is a good choice.
Be interesting to see what kind of times they can put down when they do their testing in Alabama.
Well, if you've been to the Barber Motorsport website, Stephen.
Not recently, but then I've seen races there, and it's a really nice track.
It's a very nice facility. There are lefts and right turns. There's a lot of club testing there. There's a lot of indie tests there. It's a very nice track, a very state-of-the-art facility, and I don't blame them. They could just drive from Charlotte to Alabama.
Yep, just
stop at Denny's for the Grand Slam on the way.
Denny's? Not Pancake House?
Waffle House. Please,
I know. Or the Pancake House.
And you could, and not only that, you could test a Formula One car and have a bowl of grits at the same time. Now that is rare.
And then they can probably run over to Hooters when they're done and, you know, unwind.
That probably. But there you have it. I'm happy for USF1, and of course the FIA has approved the Alabama circuit, the Barber Motorsports circuit. So it's all good. I'm happy. Today Ferrari announced that, or it could have been yesterday, that Felipe Massa will have the honor to complete the first laps in the Ferrari 2010 car. I don't even know what it's going to be designated. I think it was 281, but that was in...
Yeah, well, wasn't it like F30 last year or something? And they always seem to like change it up. It's like it's not like sequential to like go F30 and then it'd be
well
F09.
I think it was, to be honest with you, last year I think it was a 248, 2.4 liter, 8-cylinder. 248. It's very sneaky stuff, you know. You got to think about it. But anyway, I'm going to call it the F2010, and Felipe Massa is going to get... I think they're trying to make him feel that Fernando is not going to dominate the team. You're going to get the first test, Felipe. And, of course, when testing starts February 1st, Felipe will have the Monday, and, of course, Fernando will have the following Tuesday and Wednesday.
Yeah, it makes sense to kind of get Felipe in the car first, just because he's going to be a little more... Gonna have a little more rust to knock off, and he's also a little bit more familiar with the team as a whole, so it'll probably be easier for him to get started. Fernando will probably be lurking in the shadows,
you think,
while he's doing it, just to find out how things work when they test.
Probably. I think it's gonna be great. I wish all this testing was streaming online live.
That would be sweet, it Bernie.
But I don't know. It might be through some of the local Spanish televisions, but I'm not sure. But if anybody knows, send us a link. We need to see some of this testing live. I mean, you can get some of it on YouTube post.
Yeah, post haste. But, you know, that again, Bernie really needs to step up and embrace the technology, because, you know, that's something that you could probably be offering as part of a package.
Exactly, the full package.
Yeah.
And people would pay for that, especially, I mean, especially, you know, the hardcore F1 fan, you know, waiting for that February test.
You could be having interviews with people in the paddock during the testing sessions, you know. You could have, you know, general interviews with people around the
track,
the sport, you know.
Absolutely anything. No, I think we'll see what happens. One day, baby. One day, Steve. We will reach that shining light on the mountain.
Yeah, well, you'd think that his partners would be pushing him to do that, because, you know, that's our untapped revenue stream. Profit center.
It'll happen in the future, trust me. Let's move on. Of course, Renault started their new motor today.
Vroom.
It went vroom vroom. It was pretty exciting. And, of course, when you start up the new motor in the R30, you know, they're getting all the package together. And, of course, they were probably having a little fromage, a little glass of wine. And even though they're an S-Stone, they still do Francophile stuff. But pretty exciting. I'm glad for Renault. Let's hope it comes all together. And I hope Robert Kubica has a decent car.
They still don't have a second driver, do they?
No. They don't need a second driver.
Yeah, because the supposed deal that they were maybe putting together with Heidfeld apparently fell through.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of hoopla, and the Gravity company, I think, is going to have some say. And Ho Pi Tung, I'm sure I'm mispronouncing his name.
Ho Pi Tung.
Could be in the works. So one of their support development drivers could be in line for one of those drives. But we'll see what happens, and there's no hurry.
No, I say, frankly, though, if he's not as an experienced driver, you need to get him in early for test so he can test.
Not only that, but This tells me right now, Robert Kubica is number one. The other driver will be number two.
Well, we kind of knew that when they signed Robert, but
I like it though. Just say it, do it, and we're comfortable with it. Campos Mejda one having lots of trouble. They've announced that they will miss all of testing, and the first test will be Bahrain. Not good for Bruno Senna.
No, not only that, but if I'm Campos, why am I even telling anybody?
Well, yeah, and I agree, loose lips sink ships, and he could be sinking this whole team.
Well, it's not going to be good for sponsors. It's not going to be good
correct
for anybody. You're pissed, basically, you know, hey, for all we know, third, fourth week of the season, Bruno Senna could be in the second seat at Renault.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. It's no secret they say that right now we are negotiating with investors and sponsors, especially on an international scale. You're in Formula One. That's going to be fairly international.
Yeah.
But everything is going according to plan. I hear a lot of blah, blah in that.
Okay, you plan not to test before the first race of the season?
It doesn't sound good. And when you hear blah, blah like that, it means they have lack of funds.
Well, when they're saying going according to plan with a plan that doesn't make any sense means that whatever plan they really had is out the window.
I agree. So, I don't know. Of course, let's move on to more successful teams. Mercedes Grand Prix, of course, they unveiled their
livery.
Their livery, which, to be honest with you, the pictures were really bad. Overexposed, so the thing looked white to me. Some other pictures showed some silver, but I thought it was not very creative.
Not only that, but I thought that, like you said, the photo set that was provided to the websites was junk.
Well, I think some of
those were the worst pictures of a new car that I've ever seen.
Well, everybody's on a budget.
Well, get a professional photographer at least. Somebody who knows where their f-stop is, because obviously they had the f-stop open and way too much light on those photos. It's probably kind of silvery, but the problem is you've got the car under hot lights instead of, you know, sunlight. So you really aren't going to know what it is. Be interesting to see when it gets on the track. Like you said, not a lot of creativity there.
No, I was very disappointed. I thought, you know, with Schumacher coming back, that it would just, I don't know, you know, the German flag with some silver in there.
Well, considering they're both German drivers, you'd think they would be, you know, playing that end up. But, yeah, I agree with you. Just kind of, obviously, one of the budget cuts with the rollbacks is artists to do the paint.
Okay, so we both agree. Not very exciting, but we'll see what happens. The new car should be more exciting to see, and maybe outside some better photography, yeah. So we'll cut him some slack.
Yeah, let's get it in the sunlight and see what it looks like, because one of those problems with studio lights is that, like you said, they look over, you get to that kind of overexposed look because there's just too much light.
Okay, and what I find interesting is, so now Mercedes Grand Prix is going to be the silver O's. That's the way they've been all their racing career. But now McLaren has, you know, since they've been running, the Mercedes has been very silver. Silver and gray.
Oh, I want them to bring back McLaren orange. I love
silver and black.
I love that orange.
I would hope that they would have the testicles to bring back the original McLaren orange.
Or at least something more McLaren-esque rather than Mercedes-esque.
Yeah, they were red and white with the Marlboro logos all over the place many moons ago, but still, I don't see them coming back out in silver. So McLaren could be the surprise in livery. Also, Renault could be a big surprise in livery because no more ING, and they stuck with that orange till the end of the season in 2009.
Because you don't know, blowing a bunch of money on paint. It's bad enough you have to replace the side pods with Renault instead of ING.
And it's amazing how cheap some of these teams are. No photographers, no artists, no paint. I don't know what it's going to come to, but we'll see. I'm hoping McLaren comes up with a nice paint scheme to...
I'm guessing that they'll probably go something similar to what they had last year, but maybe dark, more black. Maybe darker. Throw some splash of color. I'm not sure. I don't remember who exactly is in their sponsorship fold that they could be using colors from. But maybe, you know, nice orange stripe or something.
As like a Nike swoosh?
There you go.
I don't think so. But we'll see what happens. They certainly don't have Santander anymore because Ferrari showed the way their livery is going to be, and they had that white. And I wasn't that crazy about that either. No. So, but maybe it's because I'm seeing the old cars with new livery, and it's not exciting me. But and McLaren team principal Whit Marsh, he says he's pretty excited about the MP425 that's going to be launched from Vodafone's UK headquarters in Newbury this Friday.
Vodafone means there's going to be a lot of red.
Yeah, exactly. So who knows?
Maybe it's red and black.
Maybe they could be. Yeah, red and black would be all right.
Yeah,
I like that.
One of my favorite pairings.
Okay. And let's hope Mercedes comes out with something with punch, because I didn't like what I saw. Schumacher, he's pretty pumped up. He was a little pissed off because people are already bringing up some of his incidents of the past.
You don't race fair, Michael.
You know what? You're not a seven-time world champion by not being a little...
You've got to be a bit aggressive to be a seven-time world champion. Sometimes you got to take the, you know, that chance or that risk.
And be outlandish. You know, just go, what?
Exactly. Well, not only that, but when you're getting all those big sponsorship dollars, you know, you want to be a little bit more flamboyant.
Absolutely. And, of course, now he has number three. Who was number three in NASCAR? Who was that famous guy?
Was it Dale Earnhardt?
I think it was. I found that very interesting historically, that Dale was three and now Schumacher is three. So, you know, you could get a Dale Earnhardt hat and just cross off. It could be all very interesting
just
stuff.
Just get one that doesn't really have any you know, nomenclature on it, just the number.
Yeah, and you see...
I want to see Michael's three with that, you know, the lines running out the end of it making it look fast.
Well, you know, here in America, we see pickup trucks with three on the back window. There's no name. Just everybody knows what that three stands for.
Unless, of course, it has in memoriam in it.
And also, we see the number eight, and we know what that stands for. So, it's going to be interesting. I think in Germany, that could happen. So, we'll see what happens. But he got number three, and there's talk about him staying beyond... His 3 years. Past 2012. Past 43 years old.
Let's race this season.
Exactly.
You know, he's got a 3-year contract. We're going to see him for two more after this. Let's not start, you know, tying him down after that. That just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, Schumacher said his excitement over his return was so great, he could easily see himself committing for longer than his present contract. So we'll see what happens, but
a lot of it's going to have to do with what kind of success he has, how well the team is running, and whether or not Ross Brawn wants to bring in some other young gun and kick him out like Montezemolo did.
All of the Mercedes staff, the entire country of Germany, everybody, including the bookies in Vegas, are counting on Schumacher being competitive right out of the box.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's one of the three favorites to win this year.
Absolutely. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I can't wait for testing. And I certainly hope that Nico Rosberg has been taking his vitamins.
Yeah, certainly so. You know, we get to see a lot of Nico on Inside Grand Prix this past season. And he's a good kid. He's fun to watch and he's reasonably articulate. I'd hate to see him get crushed by Michael.
I know. And I don't think he will. I think he's going to hold up his own. He's young. He is talented. Let's not forget when he first got to Formula One, how impressed we all are. And I think that's still all inside him. If he's got a good car, I think Nico can deliver.
Well, he's shown when the Williams was competitive, he was up in the field. Usually the problem for the Williams when it was competitive is it didn't finish the race.
Absolutely. So we'll see what happens there. So we've got a lot of cars coming out next week. It's going to be exciting. Red Bull, Renault, McLaren, Mercedes, of course, Force India.
Is that Red Bull and Renault or Red Bull Renault?
Red Bull Renault. Toro Rosso, the RB5 is almost ready. Then they had to build their car themselves this year. Let's not forget. Very exciting stuff. They had to get the ovens fired up from Minardi.
And it's going to be interesting to see them out on track early in testing because they've been one of those teams over the past couple of years who were always late to the track.
Exactly. And, of course, they finally confirmed Jaime Agashwadi as their second driver. So that's all set and done. So good for one small team that obviously has a lot of money, but they're doing great. What are your thoughts on the tweaks on qualifying with the changes where the top 10 have to start the race with the tires they qualified on? I thought it was intriguing because it can manipulate how they want to qualify.
Yeah, interesting in that regard. It's one of those things where it seems to me that they're kind of grasping at straws to try to mix things up.
And this is what they do every season.
And it doesn't, it's bad enough we're not refueling, which is not so bad. But you're going to mix up whether or not how people are going to try to qualify. Do you qualify 11th and pick your, start on your new soft tires and run yourself up the field? There's a little bit of strategy involved, and I think that's what they're trying to do, is trying to infuse a little bit of strategy that's been lost with the fueling being taken out of
it. Well, to be honest with you, I think the idea is intriguing, but I'm surprised the teams will go for it, because really, they want qualifying to be separate from the race, just as exciting as the race.
Right.
And to be honest with you, with full fuel loads, you want to start on fresh tires.
Yeah, whether they be softs or hards, you want new tires, because if you've already run 5-6 laps in quali,
not only that,
flat out light trying to win the pole, the tires aren't going to be worth a darn.
No, and not only that, but to start the race on a soft compound that's already got a few clicks on it.
Well, it's basically already wiped the sweet spot off of them.
Exactly.
What are you gonna do, run three laps and come in for fuel, come in for new tires? Where's the fun in that?
Well, I think this will be worked out towards the beginning of the season. We'll see what happens. I don't think it's all set in stone yet. Real quickly before we go to break, Sebastian Loeb came out and said that Kimi Raikkonen will be successful in the World Rally Championship. I think that's good.
I think it's a given. The guy is a talented race car driver. It's just kind of changing the way he races. And it sounds to me, just from what we've heard from Kimi, that it's something that he's enjoying, that he loves, that he wants to be good at. Whereas with Formula One, he was good at it, whether he cared or not. So it should be interesting. Sebastian Loeb's an interesting one to bring up. And it's too bad that couldn't drag him into Formula One. I'd love to see him race in Formula One.
Yeah, it's such a different animal, and he is up there in years. I think he's like 38 years old. So he admits not having enough testing in single seaters, would be hard for him to be competitive. I mean, I always, when you bring up something like that, look at Luca Badoer. Thank you.
Well, look at Luca Badoer, the fact that he'd been sitting on the shelf for what,
44 years.
Yeah.
No, I agree. No, and Loeb had some good times when he tested, but still, it's still such a different animal. We'll see what happens. But I'm glad that Kimi has Loeb on his side.
Yeah, well, it's nice to see that. Well, he's racing for Loeb's team, so even though it being a junior version, but still racing for his
team. And Raikkonen's talking. I got a quote right here, and it's more than two words. quote, I got to know the C4 a little bit during a test session close to the Citroën Racing Workshops. This rally is a very good opportunity for me to work with the team in competitive conditions and continue my learning curve with the car. So, there you go.
Is Rally of Finland coming up?
He's going to be racing shortly. It's good. All coming out in the wash. Very soon. We'll see what happens. My goal, I say, don't worry about the clock. Finish the race. Finish the race. Finish the race.
Yeah.
Finish the race.
Especially early. Not only that, but it's amazing what you can do in rally if you just get to the finish line.
Not only that, but the rhythm with the co-pilot is critical.
Right.
You've got to get that rhythm going, and it's going to take a few races, but I think he's got it in him. Kimi is the man. Yep. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Motorsports Mondial and the man himself. We'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself?
Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to NorCalRotex.com to learn more. And see MarinKarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid.
Espera, aún la nave del olvido no ha partido. No condenemos al naufragio lo vivido. Por nuestro ayer, por nuestro amor, yo te lo pido. Espera, aún me quedan en mis manos primavera para colmarte de caricias todas nuevas que morirían en mis manos si te fueras.
Buenos dias and carrera regards from Buenos Aires. Please welcome Jose Maria Lopez to USF1 and Argentina to the Union. The president of the country confirmed man from Cordoba will be in the cockpit of USF1 car in Bahrain. The sands of time have shifted on young aspiring homegrown talent as the team is looking for drivers with cash, pesos, Deutsche Marks or dollars. American Express will do nicely.
Well, they signed an American.
Who? South American? Yeah, exactly. They have the bigger picture.
Exactly.
It's Ken Anderson is like Steve Fobb. He has an open mind.
Exactly. They were going for the Western Hemisphere.
Exactly. And who can blame them? After 12 months of talk, there is no confirmed major sponsor yet. The YouTube connection through Chad Hurley has a 10-minute maximum. I don't think Google is going to sponsor them.
Well, it's Chad Hurley. YouTube is now part of Google. And right now, to be honest with you, there's a lot of things they could have been doing that they're not doing. So it's a bit confusing. But we finally have one driver who we knew they were going to sign. So
the question is, what's new, Nicole Scherzinger? Reports in the media are suggesting James Rossiter from UK will get the okay for the second seat. It's amazing, but you got to do what you got to do. But this brings us to, we present the Forrest Sawyer segment as we open the justice files on the Jose Maria Lopez Cole case. Let's refer to him as Pichito, which is his nickname. He was born in Rio Tercero on April 26, 1983, so we can call him a young whippersnapper, especially compared to the drivers in the NASCAR series. In the Argentine province of Cordoba. Actually, a pretty good racing talent and success story till he got to GP2, which is where it gets very, very, the air is very thin. Much like Mike Conway, Alexander Prema, and many, many others who came up to GP2 thinking they're going to teach Michael Schumacher how to race, and they ran into Nico Hülkenberg or Lewis Hamilton. Oopsie. Pichito picked up his first championship in 2002. Formula Renault Italia won 4 of the last 5 races to beat Robert Kubica to the title, 205 points to 188. Now that is very, very impressive, as Kubica has been very highly rated since his karting days, and still is. The following season, 2003, Pichito went 2-for-2, winning the Formula Renault V6 over Swiss driver Neil Gianni, who later went on to win the Avon GP Championship and also raced here in the US in the Champ Car World Series. Senor Pichito was second to Heikki Kovalainen in the very first GP2 race at Imola in 2005. Things got better in the next round in Barcelona, where the Argentine driver won the second race of the weekend. But that was all she rode. No other wins would follow in 2005 or his second and final season of GP2 in 2006, in which he had 10 DNFs from 21 starts. and that's not going to impress anyone, not even Takuma Sato or Andre de Cesaris.
Were they DNFs due to auto failure or because he couldn't keep the car on the track?
A mixture of both. But by then he had developed a reputation that he was sort of couldn't bring a car home. And, the thing is, if you have won a couple of championships before you, drivers who have just won a race or two and who are not in GP2 or whatever the next step is to the biggest series in that nation, they think, wow, they're the second coming of Fangio. But when you get to GP2 and, if you get to Indy Lights, it gets very tough. You really have to be super good to win on a consistent basis. After being dropped from the Renault driver development program by Briatore, remember him? It was a slow boat to Buenos Aires, but the muy macho hombre de Cordoba has been very successful in local touring car racing series. So much so, last year he competed in 3 national championships, won 2 of them, and in the third one, I think he was second or third. So he's done a very good job of keeping busy and winning. So, when all is said and done and dusted in the pampas, F1 Weekly would like to wish him and his team all the best for the 2010 season. Now, that was the professional commentary. Now, some personal notes as a racing fan, which is what I am. I'm very happy, muy happy to see a driver from Argentina again in Formula 1 because I was a huge Carlos Reutemann fan, who is also known as Lole. And, of course, that nation also produced the maestro, Senor Juan Manuel Fangio. And motor racing, as we all know, is very popular in that country. And let's hope we see a Grand Prix in the streets of Buenos Aires before too long. So what say you,
Judge?
Binozer. Sacre de Binozer.
To be honest with you, when I look at his CV and see what he has accomplished, then, it went downhill a little bit. A lot of that could have been some mental problems that we don't know about, his situation. To be honest with you, I think he's a good fit for USF1.
Well, it depends under the circumstances.
I agree.
If they're looking, the thing is, the guy has been nothing against him. Obviously, by winning all these races and championship, he is good. But in terms of people available, there is DC, there is, what's his name, Davidson, Anthony Davidson. The guy I would really like to see, I think it's very...
Heidfeld.
There you go. And the guy who I would really like to see somebody give a chance is Adam Carroll, Irish driver. I think he's very, very good. And, it's like this, when Toyota gave Salo and McNish a chance, these people were hungry. They may not be Senna and Schumacher, but they were hungry. They were looking for a ride, and they would have done whatever it took to get the job done. But, at least the cat is out of the bag. Let's get a couple of drivers. Let's get the ball rolling. And
they got somebody to test the car in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and let's not forget, he brings some cash with him.
Yeah.
Which is very helpful for Peter and Ken.
Yeah, I think so. Or for anybody, for that matter. Okay, we move from Binozer to Buttonville. World champion Jenson Button will soon be honored in hometown Frome as a footbridge is named after him. Very impressive.
Ooh.
Would you like to have a footbridge or some sort of a bridge, maybe a swing bridge in San Jose, downtown San Jose?
Anything.
Clark Rogers Bridge. Anything?
Yeah.
On the corner of a park.
Yeah, exactly. With Button having been raised in the Somerset town, the champion will now see his name firmly engraved in its history with the Button Bridge, due to be built and opened in the coming months. Tweety Bird tells me toll charges will apply if your last name is Fry or Braun. He means business.
He's or Hamilton.
Well, that will be after this season, depending on where they finish. But I think, they should also have a bridge like this in Oviedo. Oviedo, Spain, not Oviedo, Florida. The Nando Crossing. With only one requirement, you must have crossed a bridge somewhere before. No rookies allowed. Gee, I wonder why.
Boy, man, he just won't let that one go, will he?
It's off season.
The rest of my life.
It's off season humor. I like Fernando.
I like off season humor.
Yeah.
Don't worry. When Fernando gets in the Ferrari and takes over.
I tell you what. How many races did he take to win a race with McLaren? 2. It's going to happen same thing here if the car is competitive. Not like him as a driver. You know that. He's one of my top 3 picks, but we got to have a little internal slings and arrows.
I understand.
Yes, but here's the best one. Best would be a footbridge named after Nicole Scherzinger. the Pussycat Walkway.
I think we have a few of those bridges.
Oh, yeah. Guys would be scrambling to get on this one. Now we come to motorsports events. Monte Carlo Rally, debut win for the new Ford S2000 Fiesta in the 2010 Monte Carlo Rally, courtesy of Mikko Hirvonen of Finlandia. Check this out. Two Skodas were second and third, driven by Juho Hanninen and Nikola Vuojos. And if I'm screwing up the names, lay apologies. Did you watch any of this on TV or did you follow this?
I picked up some highlights on the internet.
Mr. Fab, you're a big rallying fan.
No, I didn't know that it was even
great photographs.
Really?
Exciting.
Oh, cool. The next gimme, Formula BMW Europe champion Felipe Nasr, and this I'm very bullish on this guy, has been signed up by Robertson Management, the organization that brought Kimi Raikkonen into F1 after only 23 motor races. Nasr will race with Raikkonen Robertson Racing this season in the British F3. Now here's a kid who really has made a good decision, or maybe a decision was made for him. He went into Formula, this was his first year in motor racing anywhere, and won the championship. Most kids will jump to F3 or a serial thing. Oh, I can go and beat Nico Hülkenberg. This is a good thing to do. Step by step, the more you win, the more confidence you have. He's young, no need to rush. So let's see. I mark my words, I will not be surprised. There are 30 races in British F3 this year. I will not be surprised if this kid wins 10 plus. I'll buy you a gelato if he does not win 10 races.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Welcome. Okay, and where were we? Steve Robertson, who is the son of David Robertson, the management team. You know, there was a Steve Robertson many years ago who used to race here in the United States in Formula Atlantic. I have a very strong feeling. I was once trying to confirm, but I'm fairly positive it's the same Steve Robertson. That gentleman was also from England. Okay, Steve Robertson is already confident that the 17-year-old Brazilian can emulate Button and Raikkonen by winning the Formula One titles. They also handled Button for a while, and F1 insider once said to me, as soon as they found Raikkonen, they dumped Button. Okay, this is what he said, and I quote, "I see a lot of the same qualities that I first saw in Kimi. He's super quick, he's got unbelievable car control, and he doesn't make mistakes. He has that special talent that doesn't come along that often. We don't just want a driver who's going to get to F1. That's not good enough for us. We want a driver who's got the potential to be world champion." End of quote. And you know, when somebody like this who has managed Kimi Raikkonen is making this comment that he has that special talent that doesn't come along that often, it's just like Josef Kaufmann saying to me that, in his opinion, Hülkenberg is better than Vettel, and then Esteban Gutierrez from Mexico is as quick as Nico Hülkenberg. That's a serious, serious vote of confidence. And now it's just up to these drivers, young guns, you know, to make the right moves and stay focused. What say you?
I agree completely.
Thank you,
but
sir.
We'll see what happens.
Oh, yeah, there are no guarantees. The next, Lewis Hamilton. McLaren signs a 14-year-old kid. This kid is a kart racer. Name is Nick DeVries, and he has been signed for the Young Driver Development Program. And he's from Holland, and he will be managed by Anthony Hamilton.
Papa.
And I think Papa can bring a very qualified instructor to aid the young kid.
You believe that?
Yeah. If it means making money, Lewis will be there. And his company's name, of course, is Hamilton Management Group. So we'll see.
Now, is this something new that Anthony Hamilton's going to be doing in the future, is helping McLaren with this driver development?
Well, the idea is to help him make some money. Nothing wrong with that.
Mm. Maybe actually get him out of the paddock once in a while.
Yeah, exactly. And I heard this a couple of years ago that he was trying to do this. What happens, you know, when you are involved with a project from day one when the kid was 5, 6 and you bring it to F1 World Championship, trust me, you go through a lot of push and shove, ups and downs and setbacks. And just to go through one season of any motor racing in any series, trust me, I've known from a few people, it's just like going through hell. You know, accusation. I don't trust him. I don't trust if they trust the team owner. They don't trust the team engineer. There are always, if the guy is not winning, if your driver is not winning, then it's somebody else's fault. And when he's winning, then it's all my driver. Till you run into Nico Hülkenberg or somebody like that. I pity the drivers who run into his teammates, Schumacher, Senna, Jim Clark, no chance. From the moment before the ink is dried on the contract, you're doomed. But, you know, that is life after one or two seasons, too. Okay, now we come to Lambretta legend. Famous Italian name will be back in motorcycle racing in this year's 125cc championship after an absence of nearly 60 years. Welcome back, boys from Bologna. In the world of scooters, Lambretta is to Vespa what Pepsi is to Coke in Cola Mondiale. You probably know Lambretta.
Of course.
Yeah.
In the old days, there were the guys with the Vespas and the guys with the Lambrettas. I've always been a Lambretta guy, and this is pretty exciting. They last competed in the World Championship motorcycle racing between 1950 and 53.
Long time ago.
And and they're going to be coming up with a new scooter. And the last time they put out a new scooter was 1970.
Well, it's time for a new one.
It is time for a new one.
Yeah. Financial kablamo at Campos. Adrian Campos' team may have as driver Bruno Senna, but they are still looking for a lot of moolah. And guess who is coming to the dog and pony show? Tony Teixeira, the top dog of now defunct A1GP series, wants to have a stake in the outfit to guide the team. And he's trying to revive the A1GP series also. Good luck on that. Now, this is like Charles Keating becoming financial advisor to Enron Corporation and bringing Nelson Piquet Jr. as the auditor. Will do as Tor.
I came to the same conclusion. We've seen what happened to A1GP. Even though they won't admit it's defunct, they're saying it's being postponed. Yeah. But they have no chance. It's over. And it's sad. We thought so much was going to happen in A1GP with power by Ferrari last year. See what a year makes? It's absolutely shocking, and I think this guy should just stay away from Campos. He's not going to make anything happen.
Yeah, and Bernie Ecclestone has again come up with a statement that Campos and USF1 may not be on the grid. Campos has pretty much confirmed that they will not have any testing.
I mean, we talked about that at the beginning of the show. Yeah. They will not test. Bahrain will be their first test.
Yeah. This is like many years ago when Tom Walkinshaw showed up in the Australian Grand Prix with pieces of the Prost car, that this is my entry. All he was trying to do is get on as the 10th team so he can get onto the money. Amazing. Okay, Sauber's clock is ticking. The Swiss team has renewed its sponsorship with Swiss watchmaker Certina. This company is only 122 years old. Let's hope Kobayashi and De La Rosa are not late to meetings and blaming it on the watch. That'll be a double whammy. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Next, Minardi the mayor. Giancarlo Minardi is aiming to become the mayor of his place of birth and where his F1 team operated from, Faenza. He is now 62 years old, which is a pretty good age to make NASCAR debut in case politics is not his cappuccino.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. Oh, here's my favorite. Elio the Papito. Elio Castroneves became a father late December. The news was just came out a week ago. So congratulations to him and his girlfriend Adriana. And a Tears for Fear style, welcome to your world. Remember that song?
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Actually. As usual. To the daughter, Miss Michaela. Elio has already set up an education fund. This was very interesting and very thoughtful of him. He has already set up an education fund for her professional education and expertise at the prestigious H&R Block University, fully accredited by local, state, and federal taxation authorities.
You're out of control.
Exactly.
It's off-season humor, folks. Nothing serious.
I understand.
So what else is going on in this world?
Oh, you know, it's the good life here in Northern California.
Not this weekend, but the following weekend is the GP2 Asia Series race, and Alexander Rossi will be in that race.
Yep. I saw the big news on autosport.com this morning.
Yeah, and he's with the new team, Meritus, which is a Malaysian Arabian-owned a team, and interestingly, his teammate will be Luca Filippi. This is the guy who flipped out at ART when he was teammate to Romain Grosjean, complaining that French team favoring the French driver.
Shocking.
Yeah, let's see how he does against Alexander Rossi.
Yeah, those Americans, troublemakers.
Yeah. So, no, Alexander Rossi is very talented, and, you know, I wish him all the best. And he will, you know, he's already signed up for GP3. You know, interestingly, I'm in touch with a couple of whippersnappers from overseas also, and I should have some update from one of them next week. And he's told me basically what he's going to do, requested not to disclose any info. So hopefully we'll have some good news for this young man soon. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
Outstanding job, Nasser. Thanks for joining us for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We love it. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with a couple of emails. And, of course, we've got the forum updates. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
I'm Frederick Furbish, and you're listening to F1 Weekly.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, the forum updates.
Forum updates. This week's news from the F1 Weekly forums. A big forum. Happy birthday to Kamikaze. The forum is busier than ever. Welcome new posters. Old Guy Al, PBO, and Interruptor. Amongst the hot threads are about the Canadian GP meetup. New teams, new cars, and of course, a new driver. And new drivers. Keep checking the forum over the next weeks for the car launches and, of course, discussion about the testing. In related news, Bumgartner fan asked, what was your first F1 race? Dr. Mark is in the Caribbean doing research. Jackson brought some baked beans, which Colella said would give him gas. Chemix had a boring day at work and made 26 posts. Tricky Dicky is having trouble with Mondeo's power steering. Nasser, you have some input?
No, the question about what was your first race, I really enjoyed postings on that. Because, you know, I always like to know from people what got them interested, what got them hooked. And so that was very, very interesting post. My thanks to everybody.
And then on with the forum updates. Our Boulanger declared Nespresso sponsorship of Sauber and the caffeinated crazy Kobayashi Club, all with K's. Frank Douglasson sent Yay a hat. Mallory thinks Danica likes Top Gear. Boobs, bums, or legs, sausages, baked beans, and how you love to live in the countryside. We got something for everyone. On a more serious note, we want to send Lion Bray our best wishes on his recovery from his recent heart attack. That's all for now. Keep up the good posting, everybody.
Thank you, Steve. And, of course, Leon Bray. Hang in there.
All the best.
Thinking about you.
Get healthy, yes, man. We got races coming up.
Okay, now, well, we had some issues with iTunes for the past probably 2 weeks. So, of course, we've got a number of emails about that and maybe a couple of other things. But I want to address this real quickly. This is from Ken Trudell in Windsor, Ontario. Great podcast, guys. I've been listening for a year now. Unfortunately, the iTunes store only shows up to $3.99. Okay, that's been fixed. You might need to unsubscribe and then resubscribe. But if you go to our front page to the left and scroll down, there's some instructions on how to get the podcast in a variety of different formats. Also on the forum, Toby, our webmaster, has done an outstanding job getting this repaired. There's instructions if you need help. But iTunes is backing up and running, and Apple was able to fix the problem. And it was an Apple issue, not an F1 Weekly issue. So, Ken, you should be up to 404 or 405 by now. More Peugeots, by the way.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love it. Here's another here's another email. This is from Giles, doesn't say where. Gentlemen and lady, question mark. Your last episode, 4-4, hasn't streamed through iTunes. Arrgh. What shall I do? Help, please. Hands starting to shake with withdrawal symptoms. It's there now. You're going to be okay. Tall glass of water, and you're going to be fine. Now, while I'm here, let's just have a little chat about overtaking and the new regs. I know that you have all followed F1 for some while, and I am shocked by your apparent lack of memory in this area. Prior to 1994, we had some fantastic overtaking, and the majority of it happened on track. Yes, there were some years which were a bit of a snooze, but by and large, this happened when there was a massive differential between the leading cars and the rest, 84, 88, 92, etc. However, when the cars were close, the drivers knew that they had to get the business done on the island and generally not in the pits. We had some races where the leader constantly changed. Australia 86, Brazil 89, great comebacks, Mansell, Paul Ricard, 89, Hill at Monza, 93, and heart-stopping moves by Senna or Mansell in 87, 89, and 91. The combination of Senna's death and the introduction of refueling stymied the spectacle of overtaking, and passes were few and far between until Messrs. Alonso and Hamilton arrived on the scene. With the cars as close as they are at present, Bahrain can't come quick enough. Kindest regards, Giles. Thank you, Giles. That was a great, great email. Keep up the good work, and iTunes is fixed. One more email. I have a request for Motorsports Mondial. This is from Tim, BMW 85. Could you possibly discuss the steps to becoming a WRC driver, such as any feeder series? I'm sure Kimi's way isn't the only way. Fantastic show, guys. You keep me informed during the season and alive during the off season. Well, we appreciate your email, and yeah, we'll look into it. There's definitely some feeder series. There's some junior WRC that even Renault's involved in. Of course, the Intercontinental Rally Championship is pretty good, which I look at as a feeder series. But we'll have Nass come up with something. Nasser, I saw the light bulb pop.
It's the Kmart Blue Light Special.
Yes.
Free info. Most of the time, you know, people normally, there is like local events, club events, regional events. That's how they normally come through, local, you know, short rallies. And I was looking a couple of years ago on Sebastian Loeb's career, and that's how he pretty much came.
Exactly.
And as far as Kimi is concerned, whatever he does is unique. He came to Formula One with 23 car races. Now he's in rallying from Formula One. You know, who knows? Next he'll be in the, you know, Dakar rally.
Yeah, and a lot of these,
or he'll be on a motorcycle in MotoGP.
Yeah,
a lot of these local rallies are all over Europe. A good example is the rally that Sebastian Loeb just won last year at the end of the season with his wife as the co-driver, which was just a regional rally in France.
Yeah, plus they do also hill climb events are very popular in Europe.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. So, but if some feeder series rally races come up, we'll throw them in the Mondial and keep everybody abreast of the situation. Okay, real quickly, calendars are going fast. You must have, what, 12 or 13 left?
Baker's dozen, yes.
Exactly. Keep up the good work, Nass. Get them while they're hot, because Valentine's Day is here. And there's nothing more loving than La Dolce Vita.
And most of the cars are red anyway.
Exactly.
Except for a couple
Could
of black
imagine?
And white.
She yeah. opens that up, it's red. Throw in a box of chocolates, and I'm telling you, you're a lucky dog that night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how it works here, and that's why it's called La Dolce Vita.
Yeah, yeah. You will have La Dolce Vita there.
There you go. Okay, Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRT carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, it's simple, marincarting.com. If you want to mention real quickly MySpace, I think we're on Twitter, and of course Facebook. If I don't mention this, the executive producer beats me with a stick.
Oh, wow.
I know, it's just brutal.
When did David move to Chelsea?
Well, there you have it. Real quickly, if you want to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, we have some great deals here. We will promote your product. We will use your product on the show if you want, for reasonable costs.
Payable to Clark Rogers.
Exactly. So you can always email us at info@f1weekly.com or you can give me a call, 408-266-0477. Thanks for listening. Real quickly, iTunes is fixed. So please, listen to your show. You're going to love it this week.
Okay. You should know that it's fixed because you've been able to download this show.
Thanks, Stephen. Good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.